Good morning. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word to us. It is a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen and amen. I must say I'm enjoying the ambience. Like a romantic candlelit dinner. Well, we're beginning, as Joy said, our series on prayer today. And the theme for today is praying for blessing. And it's a fantastic theme. What a fantastic theme. After all, who doesn't want to be blessed? And when we think of blessing, we rightly think of those things that make life good, even enjoyable. We can talk about the blessings of having a warm home or the blessings of living in a free country. And while we may roll our eyes at Instagram pictures of artisan hamburgers and exotic holidays and even kittens saying cute things, when we see the hashtag blessed life, anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Some people are. Then we shouldn't roll our eyes. There is some blessing about those good things that we might enjoy. And surely it's better than putting up pictures of good things and putting up hashtag getting what I deserve or hashtag entitled to it. We receive the good things of life as a blessing. And even our character of today, Jacob, had an understanding of this sort of blessing. At different times throughout his life, he had wealth, he had security, and he had things like that. But in our text today, in our passage from Genesis, we see something different. Here we see him praying for blessing, and it doesn't seem to be talking about those sorts of things. So we're going to revisit Jacob's story and see what we can learn. Jacob, of course, is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. And Jacob is the third generation of God's chosen people, the people of promise. But of course, you may remember, he isn't the only son of Isaac. Jacob is a second-born twin. He has an older twin brother called Esau. And Esau is a man's man. He is the picture-perfect son. He's got the brawn, he's got the looks, and he is the heir apparent. But Jacob is wily, he is crafty, and he is tricky. His very name, Jacob, means grasping the heel. Because when he was born as a twin, apparently he came out hanging on to his brother's heel. And he clung to that heel for most of his life. And his name also came to mean deceiver or trickster, because that's who he was. He tricked and he traded his way into all sorts of good things. He even tricked and traded his way into the traditional family blessing. And you may know the story. Isaac gets old, he's old and he's blind, and he's got to that point where he's preparing to hand over the headship of the household, which comes through the laying on of hands and of blessing the heir. But Jacob, with the help of his mother, tricks him, because Esau is the heir. Esau should be getting the blessing, but Jacob impersonates Esau, and Isaac unwittingly blesses Jacob instead. And what a blessing it was. Listen to the words. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. You see, the blessing of Isaac on Jacob, received by deception, but received nonetheless, was in essence this. May God prosper you. May God give you wealth. May God give you power. May God give you success. And these are not necessarily bad things. Wealth, success, prosperity are blessings. And it's not wrong for us to acknowledge that. You see, compared to most of the world, compared even to most of this country, we here in Newbury are blessed in this way. Not all of us have many resources, but by and large, we live in a wealthy part of the world. We have freedoms to enjoy and many other good things. We have and are blessed in this way. And we are blessed as a church. We have the blessings of our resources, a nice building, a lovely audiovisual system when it's plugged in, the resources to put in new lights, and we have a substantial budget. We have freedom to worship. We even have a certain degree of influence and power as the established church. And as a parish, we have achieved, in relative terms, a degree of success. These things are blessings. We don't inherently deserve them. We are not entitled to them. And so we receive them as blessings of the Lord. But our topic today is not receiving blessing. It is praying for blessing. And we have to ask the question, when we look at our reading today of seeing Jacob wrestling, is this the sort of blessing that Jacob is praying for? What is actually going on when Jacob prays for blessing? The story continues. By the time we get to our passage, a lot has happened since Jacob has tricked his father. And one of the things that has happened is that Esau, understandably, is quite bitter towards his family. He turns away from his family, he marries outside of his people, and his heart is set on killing Jacob. And everyone knows that as soon as Isaac dies, there'll be nothing to stop him. And so Jacob flees. He runs away from his mother's, runs away to his mother's family, to the family of Laban. And before he goes, something important happens. He meets with his father once again, who blesses him again. But this time it's different. This is not the blessing of the firstborn. This is not a blessing that invokes wealth and power. It's a blessing of promise. Isaac puts his hands on Jacob, knowingly this time, and sends him out with these words. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham. Now, I don't know if Jacob knows this in his young age, but these words are laden with promise. They are laden with the hopes and dreams and plans of God himself to intervene into the history of this world. Because out of all the peoples of the world, God chose Abraham, a wandering nomad, a man willing to stand against his culture, a man willing to live by faith and trust, and God himself blesses Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we read what he says. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And here we know that promise ends in Jesus. We know here in that blessing of Abraham is the seed of God's salvation from the inside out. It's not a blessing to have, but a blessing to be. And now those same words, that same promise is spoken by Abraham's son over his son Jacob as Jacob runs out the door. Jacob escapes to Laban's house. He is successful. He has wealth and power. He marries well, two sisters, don't ask. And he has many children, a great deal of livestock and a wealth of all kinds. He has good fortune, and some of it has come through God's gift and others because he is still a trickster and a traitor, until he gets to a point when Laban's family are a little bit sick of his success. And once again, he has to flee. Again, he must run. But now there's only one place that he can go. He must return to the land of his youth. He must return to the land promised to Abraham. He must turn and return to the land where Esau is waiting. Esau who hates him. Esau who loathes him. Esau who has vowed to kill him. And when we encounter Jacob in our passage today, he is on the very brink of meeting this angry, powerful brother of his. The threat looms. The fear is real. And Jacob has reached his end. He's done all he can do. He's split his household into two parties in order to spread the risk in case one of them is attacked. He ascends flocks and herds over the border ahead of him, just hoping against hope that there will be gifts to Esau and he might appease his brother. But finally, we reached a point where he has sent all of his possessions on ahead of him, and now he is alone, alone in the dark. And there we read, alone in the dark, Jacob wrestles with a man until daybreak. We know from the context later that this man is a personification of God. In the dark of night, Jacob wrestles with God. He has come to his crisis, you see. He has come to the turning point. He's faced a whole bunch of different difficulties in his life, but here's the real sticking point. Here he is alone in the dark with nothing. And God is not a comfort to him, but an opponent, an antagonist, a wrestler of the soul. There will be a blessing at the end of this, but it's a blessing that cannot be understood until you know what it means to have what St. John of the Cross called this dark night of the soul. You see, we often cry out to God to bless us, just as Jacob does here. But that cry, that prayer for blessing, only makes sense when we understand what Jacob is experiencing. It only really has its meaning when all has been stripped away, and when everything that he clings to, even the heel of his brother, is taken from his grasp. Here in the darkness, the prayer for blessing gets its form. It's a common theme throughout Scripture. Moses has his dark night. David has it. So do the prophets. Paul, Peter, and even Jesus himself at Gethsemane. And we often ask God to bless us. We ask him for prosperity and for success. But in the dark night of the soul, when we pray for blessing, we find ourselves with Jacob asking for the presence of God himself. And sometimes in the dark night, God may even fight us until we cling to him. And that's what we see here. Jacob wrestles and wrestles until the light dawns and the man supernaturally prevails by touching his hip. But Jacob is still clinging. And the one who clung to the heel of his brother now clings to God and cries out, "Bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me." And now look. Look at what God says. See how this man responds. With a piercing, searching, hit you where you live type of question. Okay. What is your name? It's a simple question, but it would have cut Jacob to the bone. It's heavy with implication. Okay, you've been blessed before, Jacob. You've got the blessing of the wealth and power of the firstborn, which you received under the name of Esau when you pretended to be him. And you have the blessing of Abraham under the name of Jacob. So which one is it going to be? What's your name? Which one are you going to be? Who are you? Are you going to continue to play the game and be trickster and a traitor? Would you rather have the wealth and the power of your pretense? Who are you? What is your name? And when he answers, there is both his defeat and his victory, when he simply says, My name is Jacob. And then the blessing flows. He is embraced. He is lifted up. He is defined and called. He is affirmed in that calling. Now, he says, you will no longer be Jacob, the clinger to the heel. You will be Israel, the one who clings to and struggles with God. The son of promise. You'll be the carrier of the covenant. You'll be the one who is blessed to be a blessing. And as the sun rises, Jacob goes forward with a limp. He meets Esau and meets him in humility. He meets him as a servant. He meets him as the younger brother. He gives him the gifts of his prosperity. He is returning the wealth and the power. He is letting go. All because he encountered, was embraced by, and commissioned by God himself. Blessed to be a blessing, and all of it evidenced, not by wealth and power, but by a limp. The prayer of blessing, the prayer for blessing, comes with a limp. So what does that mean when it comes to how we pray? When we pray for blessing as we should. The reality is that Jacob's wrestle is a touchstone for us. We live here with our many blessings, the blessings of our context, the freedoms and comforts we enjoy. And we meet here also as God's people, Christ's people, a people of promise. Christ who fulfilled the promise of Abraham. Christ who then, by his Spirit, forms a new people and calls us out of the world, away from its idolatries and lies, so that we may act like him and go back in with light and life and truth, so that we might be blessed to be a blessing. We have our wealth and resources, and we have this calling on our lives. And these two blessings can often go together, but not if we cling, not if they compete, not if we are torn. You see, Lord bless us can be a double-minded prayer that sits somewhere between Lord make us successful, give us more, and Lord make us your own, give us more of you. For our prayer for blessing to have any sense, that double-mindedness needs to be resolved. And until we fall into the arms of God, we won't really understand what we are looking for. I have not yet heard of any Christian person or Christian church or Christian movement that I would in any way describe as blessed who hasn't resolved that simple question. Who am I? Who are we? And who hasn't resolved that by seeking the presence of God alone. I have seen successful lives and successful churches and successful organizations, but the blessed ones are ones who know how to walk with a limp. I have friends who have pursued careers in all sorts of fields, industry, politics, even in church ministry, and they have had a vision of what that would mean, the success and the achievement that would come to them, but invariably they have run into their fears and confusions and bewilderments. They have come to their dark night where they wrestle with God and they face some of the piercing questions of their own. And many of them, when they have then submitted their ambitions and their careers and their hopes and dreams, even rejoice that their initial prayer for blessing wasn't answered. I was praying for the wrong things. I didn't know who I was. So please hear me when I say that my heart is for this church, that we may be blessed. I pray, as I hope you do, that as a church we may be blessed. I pray that each one of us here may be blessed. I pray for those of us who are part of us who can't be here, including our director, that he might and we might and they might be blessed. But I don't mean the wealth and power type of blessing. I don't mean the sort of prayer when we hold up everything we've organized and planned and said, Lord, give us your tick of approval. No, I pray for the blessing of God's presence. It's a prayer that we might know who we are. It's even a prayer that we might have a time when we wrestle and wrestle and wrestle until our fingers are pried away from the things that we cling to, until we find ourselves clinging to God and we cry out to Him, "We won't let you go until you name us and call us and make us your own." That's where the blessing lies. There in the darkness is where we pray for blessing and understand it. But I want to finish with this. It was St. John of the Cross who coined the phrase, "dark night of the soul." And I'm told that he used these words, or words like it, to describe this wrestle. He said this: "Those times when it is so dark that we can't see or feel the presence of God are the times when we are held the closest, when we are burrowed into our Father's chest to His arm. We cannot see Him, we may not feel Him, but that's when we are the closest." And that sounds like a blessing to me. Amen.